Listener-supported St. Gabriel Catholic Radio AM 820 brings you The Catholic Doctors, discussing medicine in light of church teaching. And now, The Catholic Doctors with Dr. Michael Parker and Dr. Will Turek.
Welcome to The Catholic Doctor Show, a production of St. Gabriel Catholic Radio, AM 820. I am Dr. Will Turek, your saddled host without my sidekick, Dr. Mike Parker. He will be joining us shortly. He has been busy doing his primary vocation as a doctor, and we are going to have a wonderful guest on. We've been dying to have someone on this show who also has a medical background as a physician, as well as an ordained permanent deacon. And so we have been mulling over who we could get on, and one of the men that sprung to mind is Deacon Bob McDonald, Dr. Bob McDonald, who is a physician, a family physician for 28 years, and now currently works in psychotherapy in Canada, and he is ordained for the Diocese of Pembroke in Ontario, Canada. And he is has done some work with the Mary Foundation. Some of you may recall that the Mary Foundation does free tapes out of Fairview Park, Ohio, outside of Cleveland. And he's done some work with them, and he's done a lot of Catholic radio. And so we want to really welcome him to the Catholic Doctor Show. Deacon Bob?
Thank you very much. It's a pleasure to be with you.
Well, God bless you for coming on. And we've always been fascinated by this intersection between the diaconate and medicine, because it's there are so many similarities between the clergy and our own profession in medicine. And I always wanted to have someone really kind of sound that out and see what that's like. So what is your take on these two similar but different professions?
Well, they're very much interconnected, much more than I had realized at the time that I was ordained a deacon. It wasn't until after my ordination that I began to realize, with 3 years of seminary training, that there was a tremendous area of overlap between medical practice, in the Catholic sense of medical practice, and the diaconate in the sense of sacramental practice. And so the one thing that stood out to me very clearly after doing some biblical exegesis and moral theology and so on, was the fact that I was coming into a deeper understanding of the role of Jesus in human psychology.
Mm-hmm.
That he, as the perfect man, was the perfect subject of any psychological investigation, because all we would find was perfection.
Right.
And so as a result, he was able to inform me, if you like, more and more about the psychology of every ordinary human being and how we are flawed, yes, because we've inherited the gene of original sin from Adam and Eve. But in spite of that flaw, we are called to go closer and closer to the perfection of the mind of Christ.
Well, isn't it interesting that you know, we chase all these theories about in psychology and psychiatry and so forth like that, but yet we in secular psychiatry and psychology they pass over the divine without even a second glance.
Well, not only do they pass over the divine and ridicule the Catholic priest for being a wonderful psychiatrist in confession,
mm-hmm.
They themselves, while they deny the existence of sin, they absolve patients from the guilt of their sin.
Right.
And they tell you it's not a sin, and it was perfectly human, and it was okay to do what they did, and not to worry about it and put it behind them. And the Jesus, who was the perfect psychiatrist, instituted the sacrament of confession and reconciliation for us so that guilt could automatically be lifted at that very moment of absolution.
Yeah, I find it very interesting that it seems like all the doctors that I've met and nurses as well, but often with doctors, they do, if they're male, they do have kind of gravitate toward the idea of a vocation to the diaconate. I've seen that over and over again.
Well, I think it's because the diaconate. Medicine is already a vocation, and if you take that seriously, and a vocation means a calling, it means more than that, it means a calling from God into the process of healing, which from the book of Sirach we are told is God's ongoing creative process on the face of the earth. So medicine, in what it's learning, is automatically carrying out God's creative genius. And so it becomes logical to think a little beyond that and into terms of the diaconate. It would make perfect sense.
Yeah. Well, you know, I have six children, but two of my older children are, I say quasi-atheists, you know, intellectual atheists, because they are, even though they've been raised in a faithful home. And I say to, you know, they're very empirical about the way they look at life and so forth. And I say, well, you know, my son has been reading about the placebo effect, you know.
Oh, yes.
30% of for those, you know, who don't know, placebo effect is about 30% of the time what we do, no matter what we do, is going to work. You know, because the human mind will bring about the cure. And my son has been studying this, and he's like, well, how do you explain the placebo effect? And I said, well, the fact is that there's this is the study of medicine is an art. It's not a pure science. So therefore, there's a lot of things that I can't explain.
Of course.
And physiologic processes can only go so far in explaining them.
But he still has to explain the numbers of people over and above the placebo effect who have healing.
Exactly. And I said that to him, and he's still mulling this over, and he's still kind of contemplating this idea that, you know, we are not machines, and we, you know, if you lube this and you oil that this is the product you'll get.
Well, the fact of the matter is that science, which is what he's relying upon, that science is only competent to describe what God has made.
Right.
It has no comment to make about God.
Right.
It is not competent.
Well, and that's the thing, is that, who was it? Was it Blaise Pascal or someone who said that we are thinking the thoughts of God after him? You know,
yes.
That's what science is.
Our ability to create anything that is new, for example, a beautiful painting or a poem, all of that is a piece of God acting within each individual human being.
Right, right.
And the other thing, too, is that for your son, is that when you look at the how the earth could be formed out of nothing more than some kind of cosmic accident, the chances of it happening is 10 to the 50 zeros, 500.
Right.
And that, any mathematician would tell you, means it's impossible.
Oh, yeah. And
the earth is impossible.
And the thing is, we've had Father, who's the Magus Institute priest out in California? We've had him on our show, and his name is escaping me right at the moment. Mm-hmm. And he talks about all the, because he's a physicist as well as an economist.
Wow. Yeah.
And he says it's absolutely impossible for us to not have a prime mover, because all the math points to God.
Exactly.
You
exactly.
Know, Robert Spitzer is his name. That's it.
I see. Okay.
And so the thing is that what we do as physicians is so guided by the hand of the Lord in everything. And
so I'm
trying to be a gentle father, and I'm trying to be an understanding guide along the way. But I know that my children have this bent one ear cocked towards the world. And they want to listen to what everyone has to say out in the media and so forth. And it's,
well, that is quite normal, actually, in this age group.
Right.
They question everything. They doubt everything. And above all things, they doubt themselves.
Right, right.
And so, you know, with a little maturity and a little experience, they can very gradually come round to what you yourself would want to teach them.
Right. Absolutely.
So it takes time.
Yeah. Well, you know, I've done some talks before about my own vocation to medicine, and I've talked about, I believe, and you would probably know this better than I. I once read a book from Paul Tillich.
And I
believe it was his writings that pointed me in the direction of Christ having two vocations. One is to heal souls, and the other was to heal bodies.
Exactly. Exactly. And most of his healings were healing of the body.
Yeah.
And other healings were more spirit than body in terms of casting out demons and, things of that sort.
Mm-hmm.
In actual psychological healing, he was really the living, breathing example of what our psychology should be and could be if we follow him.
Yeah.
So he was appealing for us to follow his way, his beatitudes, the Ten Commandments, of course, which he all naturally believed in, and to follow his footsteps. In doing that, we begin to discover the healing that we want.
So on a personal level, how did you come to the... I mean, obviously, we've been kind of talking around it, but how did you come to the vocation after you've been practicing for a number of years, and I'm sure had children and a family life and everything? How did you come to the idea that this was where God was calling you?
Well, my first contact with the diaconate was through another deacon.
Mm-hmm.
A very good friend of mine who was practicing as a deacon. And we were talking one evening quietly, and he just put it in almost as an aside. He said, "Why don't you think of the diaconate?"
Mm-hmm.
And I had never thought about it at all up until that moment. And then I began to put my mind to it. And as I peeled one layer back after another and another, I began to realize that many of the charisms that would be required in the diaconate, I was already enjoying as a physician.
Right.
And once I got that, then it became very clear to me that I should be praying about this and asking the Lord if he wanted me to go into the diaconate. And
sure.
My prayer bore fruit, and I set off to Ogdensburg, New York, and spent 3 years in study there. And passing the exams was no problem at all.
Yeah.
You know, I sort of been a chronic student ever since I was a medical student, just
right.
like you. And so that part was easy.
Sure.
But the ordination itself was an entirely transforming experience.
Oh, I can believe it. I can believe it. Well, you know, it's one of those kind of things that... Mike Parker, my radio partner, and I have kicked around the idea that there is a lot of similarity between the proper formation of a physician and then the proper formation of a priest or a deacon.
Yes, I think that I would have to say that I agree with that 100%. Because, first of all, in all three of those areas that you've mentioned, you're going to need a Christian view, a Catholic view, of
right.
moral absolute, of moral right and moral wrong,
mm-hmm.
immoral wrong, I should say. And I think that should be inculcated into our medical students so that they can make informed so-called ethical decisions, which really ought to be moral decisions, on behalf of their patient.
Right, right. Now, you're listening to the Catholic Doctor Show, a production of St. Gabriel Catholic Radio, and we have on the phone from Ontario, Canada, Deacon Bob McDonald, who is a permanent deacon for the Diocese of Pembroke and in Canada, and he is a family practice trained physician. Who has a extensive history in both of these vocations. And we are still awaiting my radio partner, Dr. Parker, who is en route from the hospital. So if he comes in, he'll just dive in and join us. But Deacon Bob, I just find this intersection so fascinating because it must have been exciting for you to be able to really take to the study of theology after your study of the human body for such a long time.
That was an awesome add-on to my education, that greater insight into the reality of God and into the realities of what God created when he created us. And what the diaconate did for me was it sacramentalized my medical practice.
Mm-hmm.
Which is an interesting way to look at it.
Absolutely.
It gave me the charism of being able to bless patients with authority, to pray over them in every situation that they found themselves in, but also in situations where they were being oppressed by the dark side.
Yeah.
I don't mean possessed. I mean oppressed by the dark side. I had the authority from the bishop to pray deliverance prayer for them.
Mm-hmm.
Not an exorcism, not that.
Right, right.
But deliverance prayer.
Absolutely, absolutely. Well, now that brings a whole different element to this, because when you are talking about the demonic, I mean, this is something that medical science has no interest in, or frankly, any observance of.
Correct. In fact, medical science covers it up.
Right.
And some people who are oppressed and or possessed are very often given very powerful antipsychotic medications, which simply pave it over, and everybody's happy, and we don't need to do anything more about it.
Right.
However, I'm very fortunate to have a wonderful bishop, and he has asked me to look at one or two people from that point of view to see if he should be authorizing an exorcism or not. So I have been on the fringe of that area, to the extent that one particular lady came to see me, and I asked her how she would feel if I used some holy water on her, and her voice changed. Her face changed, and she was a big, big lady. And she got up out of her seat and came towards me with her hands outstretched, as though she was about to strangle me. So I prayed to the Holy Spirit very quickly, and the words that came out of my mouth were, "You can murder me if you like, but you'll only be doing God's work, because you'll be sending me to my Lord and God." And she stopped. She turned around and sat down. Her voice came back to normal. Her face came back to normal. And she said, "You'll never know how close you came to death." So I suggested to the bishop that she might need exorcism. I did.
Well, that, you know, it's interesting because this, in regards to the demonic, there is definitely, you have to ferret out what is medical, what is not medical, what is natural phenomenon versus preternatural phenomenon.
That's quite correct. And unfortunately, the devil is so powerful that one of the things he does with people that he is oppressing and or even successfully possessing, one of the things he does is to damage the nervous system. And so the patient will often have epileptic seizures or some neurological problem or some intellectual problem. In other words, a weakening of the human will so that he can take more control.
Yeah.
But that's a very dicey area to be in, and it requires very specialized knowledge And for that, I rely on the exorcists of the diocese and the exorcist for the Holy Father and so on. I rely on what they have to say.
Deacon McDonald, this is Dr. Mike Parker. I'm sorry to join you, but you mentioned that the damage to the nervous system from demonic possessions and those types of things. How much does illicit drug use and other medications open up that portal for demonic possession or allowing those things to happen since they do have such a strong effect on the nervous system?
Right. That's a super question because the answer to that is a very clear yes. Once someone has been rendered addicted to whatever the drug may be, I'm thinking particularly of crystal meth at this point in time, but once they're addicted, then they are now prepared to do anything, no matter how dark, no matter how evil, in order to get the next fix. And that opens them up totally to being controlled by evil.
And that might explain the success of many of the 12-step programs that whose first step is to believe in a God and that God is not me.
You got that so right. Thank God for the 12-step program.
Indeed.
It's the only one I know of that really does have results with regard to AA and alcoholics and drug addicts.
Well, you know, this could go back and forth with all the various things. How much of your prior practice before you were ordained was really a ministry? Because it had to lead up to this. You couldn't have just done this in a vacuum.
Well, you're absolutely right. I mean, I was born and raised a Catholic in a wonderful Catholic diocese in Scotland, and always had that sense of the presence of Jesus in my life. When I went into medicine, it was primarily because I actually, really, and truly wanted to help sick people. Mm-hmm. But in the wanting to help them, I had to make up my mind and what that really meant. It wasn't just a matter of a magical cure, take one of these pills three times a day and go to bed for a month and you'll be fine.
Right.
It was much more than that. And it was a penetration into the heart of men and women. And they gave me that permission. Once they saw that I was interested, they gave me permission to journey with them in that whole field and to realize how important that field was in terms of physical disease and the healing process.
You know, I think that it's interesting that we're having this conversation because I recall, and maybe you do, Mike, and about when I was in medical school, there were a lot of very broken people that were in those chairs sitting around me in class.
Amen.
And I thought to myself, I couldn't send anybody to any of you people because it's so hard to think of you as being a healer.
Yes. Well, again, you see, the motivation for going into medicine is not always what I articulated a minute ago. Very often it's for a sense of control.
Yeah.
A sense of control over others, which gives me a sense of power and affirmation of who I think I am. And a sense of control over myself, because I will understand my own body's workings.
Yeah.
There's a funny story of a medical student at Edinburgh University when I was there who was a hypochondriac, and he got everything under the sun. So he couldn't go into general medicine. He couldn't go into pediatrics. He couldn't go into surgery because he had every disease in the book. So he became a gynecologist.
Well, and
that's what I do.
So that's
I don't know if I've just been labeled a hypochondriac or not, but I do believe that it is called gynecology.
Gynecology. I think that's excellent.
Yeah.
Yes. I must take up the study of gynecology.
Yes, absolutely. But you know, your point is well taken, and I think I come from a long line of physicians who, like yourself, had a very strong Catholic background and really felt that much of healing had to do with the spiritual nature of the person.
Yeah.
And that has been lost in the secularization of medicine and the medical schools, is that spiritual aspect of healing, or that there is a divine power, a God, as we see it, and Jesus Christ himself, who is the divine healer in that process.
Yeah. Well, the incredible truth, which is not accepted by non-Christian physicians. But the truth is that the genius that they may have and the discoveries that they may make, which are would be termed breakthroughs in medicine, have all been given to them deliberately and lovingly by Almighty God in the first place.
It's true.
They don't see that. They take it to themselves as their own ingenuity.
Well, and I think they fail to see that it is that our study of nature is to learn more about God and who God
exactly.
is. And they see it as a study of nature to find greater control over mankind.
Yeah,
that's it exactly. To answer all the questions that they want to ask, and not realizing that every time you get an answer to a question, the boundaries of our knowledge are pushed back to infinity yet again.
Right.
To just ask more questions.
Right.
And it can only be infinite if God created it.
That's right. Well, you know, Deacon, it kind of, I was just hit by this. I have consecrated my practice. I've never thought that I was actually good enough or smart enough or anything to go into medicine and complete it and do well. I've known from a very early age that my practice was devoted to the Blessed Virgin Mary. So,
amen.
And I assume, and I make this assumption, but I think I'm right, that you've done that as well.
I made sure on the day I was ordained that I consecrated my entire medical practice and my diaconate to the Queenship of Mary. I was actually ordained on the Feast of the Queenship of Mary. And
wow.
In fact, my book I dedicated to the Queenship of Mary. So I couldn't do anything without her. She has been taking care of me ever since in the most amazing ways that... When you talk about it to someone who is a non-believer, they think you've got two heads.
Right. Well, Deacon Bob, we're out of time, and we've enjoyed having you on the Catholic Doctor's Show, a production of St. Gabriel Catholic Radio. We hope we can have you on again soon.
I would love to do it again. It's been a pleasure.
Thank you. You've been listening to the Catholic Doctor's Show, a production of St. Gabriel Catholic Radio. Until next week, we hope your week is happy, healthy, and holy.
God bless.
The Catholic Doctors is a production of listener-supported St. Gabriel Catholic Radio, AM 820. Archives of The Catholic Doctors with Dr. Michael Parker and Dr. Will Turek are available at stgabrielradio.com.
Veni Sancti.